The Money Show. The Markets.
And it looked like a record close on the JSE. Let's get confirmation of that. Graham Koerner with a Koerner perspective this evening. Was it a record, Graham? It certainly was a very elevated market.
Bruce, it's beautiful. Today we saw a record close, top 40 at 63,395, up 1.7%. We're back in record territory. I think both the JSE and the top 40, JSE All Share and the top 40 have been hitting this sort of overhead resistance for a few months now. And, we punched through. And, Anglo-American can take a bow, and NASDAQ, so I'm sure we'll chat about in a while, can also take a bow in getting us here. But, you know, also companies like BHP Billiton and Richemont, so mainly the heavyweights. But, it's become a very interesting market, felt as though it was battling to punch through those critical record levels, but great to see it today.
Mark Kidifani, Chief Executive of Anglo-American, talking about the contribution that mining makes to South Africa. We know our balance of payments would be nowhere near where it is if it was not for this resource super cycle that we're seeing. And he's got a really positive outlook. Next 2-3 years, he's willing to bet that most of the commodities that they mine will go up in price. And that is massively positive for them, for their shareholders, and of course for the jurisdictions in which they pay their taxes.
And Bruce, let's not forget, SARS has been collecting a fair amount of tax. And I think we can, thank the mining industry principally for that. The rest of society obviously battling quite a bit. So I think, if I remember correctly, Anglo said that they paid taxes of over $3.1 billion in the 6 months. So, and that's obviously across the world, but South Africa getting a reasonable portion of that. So, at a critical time, when we were announcing, basic income grants of 350 Rand, some of us would say, well, where are we going to get the money? And thank you very much, Anglo-American and Sibanye-Stillwater and the mining industry. They are in large part the ones that are funding this. So it's great to see. But if I could maybe just quote one statistic, and it's not a number necessarily, but Bruce, in early 2016, there were lots of fears around whether Anglo-American was a going concern. People talking about the debt and the sustainability of the price or the share in the company. But if you look today, they announced EBITDA for the first half of $12 billion. That is higher than, if you take sort of a constant exchange rate, higher than the market cap of Anglo-American in early 2016.
It's an astonishing number. So they made more in profit in the first 6 months of this year than the entire company was worth 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much a 10-bagger from those levels. And this is one of the things that we often say to people, share prices and markets are often irrational. We at the time in 2016 were saying to people, just take a deep breath. Anglo-American is not insolvent. Everything will be fine. Mark Kidifani was doing all the right things at repositioning the business to address the issues around debt with asset sales, and the outlook was improving. But, the market was not having any of it. And I think the share traded to under 60 Rand. So if you bought it then, you would have had yourself a 10-bagger in what is not exactly a high-spec, small cap. So that's what we tend to forget in the markets, that days like today remind us of that, just how massively fortunes can change, and how we as investors can get it monumentally wrong and often be guided by our emotions.
And again, it's not blind luck. I mean, yes, there's an element of luck. Nobody could predict the sort of demand that we're seeing for commodities right now. But the portfolio was well structured. The very expensive assets, the expensive producers were got rid of. Mark finally got rid of those early on in his tenure as chief executive. And he focused on cutting costs. As he said, one of the cheapest cost, lowest cost producers in the world right now. And they are, performing really, really strongly. Naspers and Prosus. Now, these guys, with their exposure to Tencent in China, got hit 15% on Monday and Tuesday. They've bounced back on Wednesday, Thursday, not back to Monday breakfast levels, not at all.
Yeah.
But there is a very handsome recovery happening there. And when I last checked, the Chinese hadn't said that they were going to stop regulating anything more tightly or anything. It's quite astonishing, isn't it?
Bruce, you expect this kind of volatility out of small caps. You don't want it to be, you know, the 20% index constituent, which I've sort of bleated on about over the years. But and I think it just serves as a stark reminder that NASPERS, you know, when you look through process, ultimately is invested in a fairly volatile part of the world and in a fairly volatile industry. And it's a wake-up call for everybody. I think it's still a decent asset, but, you know, it's right for certain investors. It's not right for, you know, 75-year-olds who need a high yield and who need visibility. And I think it's difficult. It's been a difficult message over the last few years because NASPERS, you know, almost, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but in large part, for much of the last 3 or 4 years, almost single-handedly, was what was propping the market up. It just reminds us that that you've got to go and look through to the underlying business and the underlying business model.
What went wrong with AB InBev today as we wrap up?
Yeah, AB InBev, I think, you know, the volumes obviously recovered. We're talking, you know, first half now versus whole first half, you know, the worst of COVID. So obviously volumes picked up very nicely, particularly in South America and America, but profits falling short, quite significantly short of what the market was hoping for. And I think what's worrying there is the cost of distribution and cans. So, you know, Jerome Powell may sort of, you know, say, don't worry about inflation, but we're seeing it creep into the system. And I think that's what hurt them, down about 6.5%, but even in Europe, down over 5.5%. So a good story in terms of, you know, if they can get it right. But unfortunately, the multiples are high and they're guiding us for sort of 8 to 10% earnings growth. That's a bit rich. And I think that's probably what weighed on the market today.
Graham Koerner with the Koerner perspective on this Thursday evening.